Appreciated that special, like I'm sure you did. At least two of you. That's good. Thank you. I didn't hear you. You gotta have to be more enthusiastic about it. I do appreciate the men being willing to get up there and sing. How many kings were there? More than one? Yeah. I didn't know there were any kings. I thought they were just magi. I didn't know. Wise men? Yeah, we don't know exactly, but they brought how many gifts? Three gifts. That's where you get the tradition from. It's still a good song. Still a good song. And it was sung well by our men. All right, Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 this morning, we made it through most of the verse, but we're going to finish it up tonight, a priceless gift. And we are so thankful for the gift that God has given us. Amen. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift, His only Son, Jesus Christ. And I understand His gift is eternal life, His gift is salvation, His gift is all of those things, but ultimately the gift is Christ. There is no life without Christ. There is no heaven without Christ. And so He is the unspeakable gift. He is a promise gift. We learn that from Genesis chapter 3 and throughout the Old Testament there were promises given. And you got to realize, even though it's found in our New Testament, that the promises that were given to Mary, that was before His birth. It was a prophecy that was yet to be fulfilled. And those things were given as the angel of the Lord came, and it was a promise gift, and it is a priceless gift. And so if you're able, let's stand, and we'll read our text tonight, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And by the way, if you want to dig into this deeper, I would encourage you, you go back as far as you want to, but especially Isaiah chapter 7, chapter 8, and chapter 9, you study those things, you see the prophecies as God dealt with His people Israel, and we know that this child was born unto us, us being at that time Israel, of course, but we understand that through God's grace, the gospel was to the Jew first and then to the Greek, to the Gentiles. And God made a way not just for Israel to be saved, but for the whole world to be saved. And therefore, Christ is a gift to all people. Isaiah 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Jesus, our Savior. Lord, I pray that You would get glory from all that we do. If there is one here tonight who has never repented of their sin and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, they've never been saved, never been born again, I pray, Lord, tonight they would just humble themselves before You, Lord. They would realize what a gift You have given in Your Son Jesus, that they would repent of their sin, that they would believe on You with all their heart and cry out to You in prayer tonight and be saved. Please let souls be saved, even tonight. And Lord, for those that are saved, I pray that every saved person would humble themselves and follow You and scriptural baptism, be part of the church and serve You in the church and bring glory unto You in the church. Lord, we love You. We thank You for Your church. We thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You above all things for the unspeakable gift of Your Son. We ask all these things in His precious name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And we know the promise was given even in that day that Mary, the virgin, would conceive and bring forth a son. We know that He is the Son of God, the Son of the Highest, conceived of the Holy Spirit of God. The power of the Highest overshadowed her, and she was with child, and she brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in a manger. We understand that when they took him on the eighth day to have him circumcised, to do all the things according to the law, that they called His name Jesus, as the angel told them to, because He would be the Savior of the world and unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And let me remind you very quickly what we talked about this morning. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Now you remember they said, the angel said, I want you to call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So his name is Jesus because that's what he is. He's the Savior. That's what Jesus means. Yeshua, Savior. But we also see in the Old Testament here in our text, his name would be called Wonderful. Why? Well, he's called Savior because he is the Savior. He's called Wonderful because everything about him is wonderful. I mean, when you look at Jesus Christ and all that he is and all that he's done, it's wonderful. It ought to put us in wonder. It ought to put us in awe of him and his glory and his majesty and his grace and his love and how he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Friends, we ought to be in amazement by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. And we ought to remember how wonderful he is. And he was wonderful in his birth. I mean, God did a new thing. God compassed a man. Through a woman, he compassed a man. He went around man. Normally, you need a man and a woman to have a child, but God went around the man. And he made a man by just a woman, the seed of the woman. And his birth, his conception and his birth is wonderful. Amen. It was full of wonder. The angels appeared and the multitudes of heavenly hosts singing and praising God in the heavens. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. His birth was wonderful. We talked about how his life was wonderful. I mean, Jesus Christ in his life, you understand, friends, that he was born without sin and he lived without sin. Amen. You say, well, he was God. Of course he did. No, friends, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Amen. And Jesus Christ, unlike any other man in the history of the universe, Jesus overcame temptation. Every temptation of the flesh that came at him, every temptation that Satan threw at him, he overcame it. Jesus Christ lived a wonderful life. We talked about how he healed the sick and the halt and the deaf and the mute and the blind. He raised the dead to life again. He preached the gospel of peace to the poor, and he preached the gospel of peace to the world. He forgave men of their sins. Amen. And who can forgive sins but God? Amen. I mean, Jesus lived a wonderful life. And we talked about the fact that he had a wonderful death. I mean, Jesus Christ suffered and bled for us. He freely gave his life for us. Amen. And when he gave up the ghost on that old rugged cross, even the centurion, even the Roman centurion said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Amen. I mean, his death was wonderful. It was an amazement, his death, how he laid down his life for us. He had a wonderful resurrection because he laid down his life and then he took it up again. Amen. Jesus Christ is wonderful. We talked about the fact that he is counselor and how that is his counsel. It's his purpose. And God has a counsel and he has a purpose for our lives. He has a counsel and a purpose for sinners to come to him through repentance of faith, to love him and to love one another, to come to him and find rest for your souls. And he is there to advise us, to counsel us, to guide us if we would just follow him. Amen. He said, listen, God says, come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. He's there to reason with us, to advise us, to counsel us, to give us his purpose. And we are called, friends, according to his purpose and his grace. Now understand this. There are a lot of people who want to come to Jesus and use him like a fire escape, but Jesus is not just Savior, but he's Lord. Amen. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ, the Lord. Amen. And he's the master of our lives. We need to give our lives to him. We need to follow him, and we need to understand that we are here to fulfill his purposes, not our own. Right. And I promise you this, if you set out to fulfill your own purposes, you will be sorely disappointed. But you give yourself, surrender yourself to the purposes of God, follow his counsel, and you will be blessed. Amen. We talked about the fact that he is the mighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the sustainer of all things. Listen, Jesus Christ created all things. It doesn't matter. We read Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17, for by him, Jesus, were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He's the creator and sustainer of everything in the universe. Everything you can see and everything you can't see, Jesus made it and he holds it together. It stands in its place by the power of his word. This is Jesus, the mighty God. And we, like Thomas, need to lay aside our doubts and our fears, and we just need to say, my Lord and my God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we come to the next part. The everlasting Father. The everlasting Father. Now, we need to understand something tonight. God has, we know that there is one God in heaven. Right? But God has manifested himself to us in three distinct persons: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are three, but they are one. And those three parts make up the whole. And in Jesus Christ, he is all God. Colossians 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him," that is Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And Jesus Christ was everything that God is, robed in human flesh. John 14, 9, Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Philip said, "Listen, Lord, if you just show us the Father, then that would suffice us. We would get it then." And the Lord says, "Philip, where have you been? Have you not been with me? Have you not heard me? Have you not seen what I have done? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father." Jesus said in John 10:30, "I and my Father are one." Listen, there are some people today, supposedly call themselves Christians, supposedly say they have faith in Jesus, but they don't believe that Jesus is God. And they'll say that he was made by God and all kinds of things like that. Friends, even the Pharisees, the ones who hated Jesus, understood what he meant. They wanted to kill him because he said he was God. They thought he was blaspheming because he was claiming to be God. Well, he was claiming to be God because he is God. But we need to understand exactly who the Lord is today. Galatians chapter 4, if you want to look at it with me, please. Galatians chapter 4, let's look at verses 1 through 6. Now, we understand that Jesus is not the Heavenly Father as far as the Trinity goes. His place is Son. But we understand that he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we are adopted as sons by Jesus Christ unto himself. Galatians 4, verses 1 through 6. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." You get it, friends? Jesus Christ, we were just out there. We weren't part of his family. Under Roman law, from what I understand of history, under Roman law, even a biological child was not legally your child, legally your heir, until you got big enough and that father would adopt you. And then you would gain all the legal rights of being a child. And that's what the apostle's trying to tell us, is saying, listen, when you didn't know Christ, you were out there in the world. You might have been created by God, but you didn't belong to him, and you were without hope. But when God came by Jesus Christ, what did it say? Made of a woman. There's your virgin birth again. Made under the law. And he fulfilled all the requirements of the law, and therefore we could be adopted as sons into the kingdom of God. Ephesians chapter 1. verses 3 through 6, the Bible said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." And friends, Jesus Christ is our Father. He's the one that brings us in to the kingdom of God. He's the one that brings us into the family of God. Amen. Not only is he Father, he's everlasting Father. The Bible says, 1 Timothy 6:14, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Friends, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is bigger than we can imagine. He's holier than we can imagine. His glory is brighter than we can imagine. I mean, he says he's dwelling in light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see. We can't even begin to comprehend the holiness of Jesus Christ, the glory that he has. I told you the other day, I'm still sad about it. I met a young man who believes you can be sinlessly perfect. I said, "I'm afraid you don't understand what perfect really is." I don't think we can even understand in our human minds how perfect and holy God really is. He lives in a light we can't even understand. You can't approach to it. You can't come into it, and you can't even see it. And yet, that immortality, that everlasting power, he gives to those who believe in his name. John 5:24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Jesus is our everlasting Father, and friends, he is the Prince of Peace. I told you before, as a young man in high school, he wanted to try to share the gospel with all the kids in his school. And so what he did was he made up a survey. And the survey basically just had a question, different questions, but one of the questions on the survey was, what's the three things you want most in life? And in different words and in different order, almost every one of the kids that he interviewed said that they wanted peace, hope, and love. So what he did was he took all of those students to Galatians chapter 5 and he showed them the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. You know that people in this world are desperate for peace. Right. Amen. I mean, we've been hearing pray for peace in the Middle East my whole life. And we ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. We ought to have a desire to have peace. We ought to desire to see terrorism eradicated in our world. Wouldn't it be nice to just see all of the terrorist attacks eliminated? Amen. And have peace for the Christians around the world in Egypt and refugees in Aleppo and all the places where all the turmoil is going on. Do you know how desperately those people want peace? And you and I, you can't even imagine. You and I can't even imagine what it's like to live in those places. Right. Where you ever know when a mortar's going to hit or a rocket's going to explode or when some terrorist cell's going to kick in your door and take your family captive? I mean, that stuff goes on daily. People want peace in the world. People want peace in their family. Have you ever had turmoil in your family? With your spouse, with your kids, with your parents? I mean, isn't it awful when there's turmoil in your family and you just, it's just something in your heart. You desperately want peace. Amen. What about in your own life, in your own heart and mind? Have you ever been without peace in your own heart and mind? How desperately you want to have peace. You just want rest, the rest that comes with being at peace. I want to tell you something, friends. Peace only comes from one source.
Amen.
And it's the Prince of Peace,
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the only one who can give you peace in your heart.
Right.
He is the only one who can bring peace to your family. He's the only one that will ultimately bring peace to the world.
Amen.
It's the coming of Christ that will have swords beat into plowshares. I mean, he's the one that's going to bring peace into the world. But there's another peace that we need worse than any. And it's peace with God.
Amen.
See, I want you to get this, friends, because I'm afraid most people don't get it. We're right here in the Bible Belt. Everybody you meet's a good old boy or a good old girl. But I want you to understand something. The vast majority of the people in this town, in this county, in this state, in this world, and let me tell you, don't be mistaken to think that there aren't any in our congregation. There are people who are at enmity with God tonight. People who are not at peace with God. And you need to understand that if you have rejected Christ, if you have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are an enemy of God.
Amen.
You are an enemy of the cross of Christ. And you may say, well, I've got no animosity against God. I'm thankful to God. I pray to God. I'm telling you that if you have not trusted in Christ with all your heart, you have rejected him and you are an enemy of God.
Amen.
If you reject him, you need to understand that's despise. That's, do you know that's what hate means, to despise and reject? You say, well, I would never say I hate Jesus, but if you reject him, you hate him.
Amen.
You are not at peace with God if you have not trembled under the weight of your sin, if you have not trembled at your unbelief, if you have not shuddered to think that you are guilty before a holy God, you are in a dangerous place, my friend. And I'm here to tell you tonight that you have no peace with God unless you come to him through his son, Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. Acts 3:14-15, he says, but ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And listen to me, friend. You look at those people, again, you remember on that day that Jesus was crucified, how they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate said, well, hey, I got an idea. I'll get him to let him go, because surely I got Jesus Barabbas over here who's a murderer and a thief, and I got Jesus of Nazareth over here, and I can't find that he's done anything wrong. I mean, we've scourged him, we've done everything. There's nothing that this man has done wrong. So surely they'll take the thief. They don't want the thief and murderer let go. What do I do with Barabbas? What about him? They say, let him go. Well, what about this man? What about Jesus of Nazareth? Crucify him. And Pilate says, well, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. They said, his blood be on us and on our children. Can you hear their voices crying out? Can you hear the hatred that they have? And we look at them and say, how could they be so foolish? How could they choose a murderer over a Savior? How could they do that? And yet people do it every day when they hear the gospel, when they're confronted with the gospel. They choose their sin. They choose wickedness. They choose their flesh over life.
Amen.
You did it.
Amen.
I did it. I heard the gospel. I held on to my pride. I held on to my sin. I rejected him. I continued in my unbelief, friends, and what a horrible place to be.
Amen.
Oh, well, I pray every night. I believe in Jesus. The devils believe and tremble, dear friend. I want to tell you the truth. I think the devil believes in Jesus more than most of us do.
Amen.
He knows exactly who he is. I mean, when the demons met Jesus, every time Jesus came around, they said, we know who you are. Thou Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. They knew exactly who he was. People don't even know who he is today. Not only that, The devil believes in him, and the devil trembles at the belief in him. And do we tremble at Jesus? I hear people talk about Jesus like he's their good old buddy from high school. They call him JC and all kinds of nonsense. And friend, I'm here to tell you, we ought to tremble at the name of Jesus. Amen. Listen, he is the Prince of Peace, but without him we have no peace. Amen. Without him we have no hope. Without him we only have destruction and death and eternal damnation. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 30, the Bible says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And thank God that we have Jesus, the Prince of Life, Jesus, the Prince and Savior who gives life, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. The Bible says in Revelation 1 that he is the Prince of the kings of the earth. And he is the Prince of Peace. Friends, listen. In Acts chapter 10, verse 36, it says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Amen. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to get ready for an invitation tonight. And while they're coming, I want to ask you a question. Do you have peace with God tonight? I hope that you have peace in your heart, in your own mind. I hope you have peace in your family. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I want God to bring peace to the world. But friend, more important than all of that is that you personally have peace with God tonight. Has there ever been a moment when you repented of your sin, you trusted in Jesus Christ with all your heart, you prayed, you asked Him to forgive you, you asked Him to save you? Have you been saved? Have you been born again? You say, well, I'm a member of the church. I didn't ask that. You say, well, I've been baptized. I didn't ask that. I'm asking, are you saved? Have you been born again? Do you have eternal life? Have you received the forgiveness of your sins? Are you right with God? Do you have peace with God tonight? And friend, I don't care whether your family is all in church. I don't care when you got baptized. I don't care what it looks like on the outside. Only you and God know whether you have peace with Him tonight. The Bible says that we need to examine ourselves whether they be in the faith. And you say, well, I don't like this preaching. You're trying to preach doubt. You're trying to tell people they're not saved. I'm trying to tell people if you're not saved, you know it. Amen. Would you rather I just said everybody that comes into church and says a prayer is okay with God? No, I want you to understand the seriousness of this business. Amen. I want you to understand that our very souls hang by a thread over the fires of hell. And that the only thing that can put us on solid ground is absolute faith and trust in Christ alone. I mean, friend, are you saved? When you look into your heart, do you know that you're saved? And if you're not, please be saved tonight. And if you are saved, if you have peace with God, then, friend, you know how others can have peace with God. And we ought to pray to Him. And we ought to study His Word, dig deep into the Word of God. We ought to grow in His grace and knowledge day by day. And we ought to do all that we can to tell everyone we can of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. He is wonderful. He is Counselor. He is the Mighty God. He is the Everlasting Father, and He is the Prince of Peace. Do you know Him? And does He know you tonight by faith in Him? Let's stand together. We're going to sing what number?
Page 563.
Number 563, friends, if you've never been saved, I invite you to step out, walk down this aisle tonight, and I will show you from the Bible, or someone else here will show you from the Bible, how you can know for sure you have eternal life. You don't want to talk to me, just go find your Sunday school teacher and say, hey, I need to get saved. If you're not saved, come and trust Christ tonight. If you are saved, make a commitment to live for Him. Maybe you need to be baptized and join the church. Whatever it is, if the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you, will you come? Be made at peace with God through Jesus. Let's sing.